In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This morning's sermon is based on the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 9, especially the 24th verse. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." Here ends the reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus had just been up on the Mount of Transfiguration where he glowed like the sun in the presence of his inner circle of disciples, Peter, James, and John, and had even spoken with heroes of the faith, Elijah and Moses from the Old Testament. And therefore, Peter and the boys wanted to stay up in heaven there on the mountaintop, but they came down to the plain. And that's where we pick it up in Mark chapter 9, that down in the valley was a valley of death, a valley in which Satan was reaping his vengeance and his terror upon people, and where there was nothing but chaos and turmoil. The occasion of this turmoil was a man who had brought his son, demon-possessed, to the disciples of Jesus. The disciples had not been able to cast this demon out of the child, and there was chaos in the scene. The disciples were in crisis. They had cast out many demons in the past merely by speaking and using the name and doctrine of Christ, but here they couldn't. The crowd surrounding the disciples began arguing and disputing with them, perhaps about Jesus and his teachings, which was here evidently failing. Jesus approaches out of this turmoil. The father says to him, "If you can do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus seems to be nitpicking words. Jesus seems to be coming up to this man who has a dire problem and picking a fight with him. He says, "If I can help." And with this, Jesus is not showing pride, as if his pride was being offended because the man didn't think he could do it, but was showing the man the real problem in the situation and the reason for the chaos. It was not because there was a child possessed of the devil, although that is the most dramatic thing to be seen in the text, but it is because of the lack of faith. And that is the devil's plan always in everything that he does in order to take away the faith of the faithful. And that's what's happening in this text. The boy, if you'll permit me to say it, is merely a prop. The boy is a prop by which the devil can flex his muscles and show his authority and strength upon the earth. He is a prop in the hands of the devil. But he is also then the object of Jesus' love and the demonstration of his power to save. Why? So that the devil will not take faith away. But that faith, even if it's little faith, even if it's failing faith, may be affirmed and strengthened by Jesus. It is my prayer under this text that we might also recognize our sometimes lack of faith, our unwillingness to believe that either God can or will or wants to help us, that we recognize that as the weakness of our faith and pray with this man in desperation, in as much desperation as this man is in, because if the devil takes our faith from us, we are lost. We should be desperate and say to him, "Lord, I believe, but the devil wants to take my faith. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." God grant that to us by the power of his Spirit. The boy is demon possessed. Now, all people, as they are born by nature, are utterly shocked full of the devil, because they are born in original sin and in the kingdom of darkness and the devil without any faith, trust, or knowledge of the Lord who is so good to them. So all people in by nature of their birth are filled with the devil, but that doesn't mean that all people are possessed by the devil. Demonic possession means that the devil is given permission to enter a person in such a way that that person is no longer responsible for anything that he does. He becomes a puppet of the devil, so that everything he does was not by his volition or will, but under the control of the devil and his will. That's what demon possession is. And many theologians would argue that because they are not responsible for their actions, they are not doing their sinful deeds under their own influence, under their own volition, but under the volition of another, God will not hold them responsible for the things that they do as they are possessed by the devil. That doesn't mean that they're holy and going to heaven, on the other hand, but it means God will not hold them responsible for the sins that the devil is making them do. And I sort of like that idea. I'm not sure I could prove it from Scripture, but it lends credence to one of the emphases I want to make in this text, that the target of the devil's attack in here is not the boy, but it is the people around them. The devil is here using this boy's attack to attack believers. The man confesses that he is a believer, and I believe him. I believe he is a believer. But he's about to lose his faith in the goodness and the compassion of God as he speaks to Jesus this doubt. The man is in danger of losing his faith. That's the object of the boy's being possessed. The disciples, on the other hand, have had great success in casting out demons. They know the power of Jesus' name because they have seen it. It's happened at their hands. And now they are using Jesus like a magic word. Jesus says, be out. Jesus says, be out. Jesus says, be out. And the magic is not working. The boy is not becoming demon-possessed. And so even the disciples are there doubting the power of Jesus' name because the demon, exorcism that they had done in the past is not working here. So maybe Jesus isn't such a great Lord and Savior after all. And so their faith is being attacked. And if the Father's faith is being attacked and the disciples' faith is being attacked, it is Jesus who is being attacked. Because Jesus came to this earth in order to redeem sinful man, which all of these were. And he redeems them and gives them grace and salvation through faith. So that if the devil takes faith away from this people, Jesus is the one that is robbed of his treasure. He bought them with his blood, or would buy them with his blood. He has the right to take them to heaven, and the devil wants to take them away. Now, Jesus informs us in this text that this is a deaf and dumb spirit. Deaf means can't hear, dumb means can't talk. It doesn't mean that the spirit, the devil, is deaf and can't talk. It means that's the spiritual affliction that he wants to put onto these people. That is the spiritual power that he's trying to exert over these people. And so when the disciples are speaking God's powerful name in order to drive this demon out, and the miracle doesn't happen, the people around, the people that are watching, close their ears, and they argue with them about Jesus. Well, no wonder you didn't cast the demon out. Jesus is nothing but a big fake. Jesus is casting out demons by the power of other demons, it says in another place. And so the devil's plan is to shut the people's ears so that they can't hear Jesus' name, which is the only name given among men by which we must be saved. And if they don't hear Jesus and accept his teaching and doctrine, they will not be saved. And as they start arguing about Jesus and his doctrine, the disciples stop proclaiming the work of God. The disciples stop declaring Jesus' power as God has commissioned them to do, and instead of preaching and proclaiming, they go into argument mode, which is worthless. You can never convert a person who is an unbeliever by arguing with him. It is not by argumentation and proof that people come to faith, but by the power of the word of the gospel itself, which breaks hardened hearts and has them embrace their Savior in Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit, by the power of a miracle, brings them to faith and confidence in their salvation in Jesus Christ, not by argumentation, not by proof, but by the power of the word through the Holy Spirit. And so he is indeed a deaf and dumb spirit. And we must learn that that's what the devil is in our lives. It is a deaf and dumb spirit. If he can have your ears closed to the word of God so that you will not willingly and happily and gladly hear the word of your Redeemer and your salvation, if the devil is able to close your ears in that way, you will be lost. Because it is by the word of God and its rejection in the beginning that we fell into sin. And it is by the word of God, the saving gospel, entering our ears, entering our minds, entering our hearts and souls to give us life and unity with God, that we are saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Close your ears, and you will be lost, and the devil will have won. And certainly if our ears are closed, our mouths will never learn how to speak the praise and the confession of the gospel and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So in review, if the main problem in this text is the demon-possessed boy, Jesus would have turned right to him and had that devil out of him in a second, and everything would have been hunky-dory. Instead, he turns to the real victim in order to point out to him his own spiritual peril. And he says to him, the Father says to him, if you can help. And here he shows his spiritual state. Jesus is not nitpicking words here, but seeing deeply into his heart and knowing his spiritual problem. If the devil makes us doubt, as this man doubted, the goodness of God in Jesus Christ, the ability of God in Jesus Christ to save us, the willingness and the desire of God in Jesus Christ to save us, if he robs our heart and faith of those things, we are utterly lost. Now let's think about this father for a minute. This father, like all fathers, is responsible for his children. If there is something wrong with our children, and all you dads know that, if there's something wrong with our children, it's our responsibility as their fathers in order to help them to be safe, to help them to be happy, and to help them to be well. We know that. The truth be told, though, none of us fathers are perfect at doing that. Maybe this father opened the door to his household for the devil and invited him in. Maybe he let his son play with a Ouija board and asked the devil to come into his house. Now, I know they didn't have Ouija boards back then. I'm bringing it up to date. Maybe he opened his house to the devil and let him in. And if he didn't do anything so coarse and inviting to the devil, nothing so crude was maybe allowed in this man's house. Nevertheless, we dads know deep down why our children are sometimes evil. We know why the devil gets into them. It's because he gets into us too. Spiritual darkness is inherited. Sin is original sin. It comes from our origins. Our children got their sin. They got that thing in them that the devil can hook into. Our children got those things from us. just as we got ours from our parents all the way back to Adam and Eve. And so we are imperfect and sinful. God arms us with an arsenal in God's word, telling us, fathers, what the dangers, the spiritual dangers are out there in the world where the devil wants to take us and our children away from him. He tells us these things in the Bible, in God's word. He also tells us what's good for us and our children spiritually, all in God's word. And none of us, I'm saying it from the pastor in the pulpit to the guy in the pew that never comes to Bible study, none of us demonstrates that love and that application of God's word in our own households as we should. And so we all, when we see the faults of our children, must say as this man, why should God help me? I've rejected his help. I've rejected the way that he wants to do it in my sin and in my sinfulness. He's given me his word and everything that I need to do this thing well, and yet sin lives within me. I know what's right and I don't do it. I believe, but why should he help me? Lord, help my unbelief, because it's legitimate. I don't deserve to be helped. Jesus helps. Jesus restores him and helps him. And he doesn't do it by abstraction into pure doctrine that we are going to argue about. But the doctrine of teaching and teaching of Jesus Christ is embodied in Jesus Christ and what he does. And so he says, don't argue about doctrine. Bring the child to me. If we're going to help any child or any person or ourselves, they must be brought to Jesus. And Jesus, who never fails in faith because he's the object of faith that never fails, says to the devil, I rebuke you, come out of him, and never get in him again. And you expect a little kid to do some handsprings down the road. Woohoo, I'm free of the devil. No. He lies down dead in the ground. He lies down dead. And the people even say, the kid died. Why? Because the devil is the thing that animated him. And in as much as we are sinners of the flesh, we do the devil's will of our own volition, and we're the same way. It was right that that kid should lay down and be stoned dead upon the ground, because the wages of sin is death. Death is the answer to sin. We will all die because we are sinners. But the real answer is not that boy laying there, but Jesus, who stands with him in his death, and who himself would go to the cross, who himself would be afflicted by the accusation of the law as he bore the sins of that child and the father and you and me and all the world upon that cross. And the devil would reap his havoc upon him, and the devil would make him deaf, and the devil would make him dumb, and the devil would make him everything that we deserve because of our sin in his death. Jesus would be stone cold as this boy laid stone cold upon the ground. And that's the answer. There's no hope because we're going to die. There is hope because Jesus is with us in our death, with his death. And he does not leave it there, just as he is not left on the cross, but 3 days later rises again in victory. Rises again over the devil who had made him deaf and dumb. Rises again against the accusation of the law that stood against him because it stands against us. Jesus rose 3 days victorious over sin, death, and the devil. And he doesn't leave the people in any mystery about that, because he takes the boy by his hand. He touches him with his powerful hand that would defeat death, and he lifts him up and restores him to the Father. And he says, never again will the devil enter into him. Again, to illustrate, never again, Jesus says in his resurrection, will I have to suffer for your sin. It's all done with. Never again will I be subject to death, because my body, which is just like your body, is going to live forever before God in righteousness and holiness forever. The boy was raised because Jesus was raised. And because this boy is raised and Jesus is raised, you and I, by the power of faith, by the power of Jesus and his victorious resurrection, will rise again from the dead, never to sin. In that, faith is strengthened. And in that, we see the nature of our life here upon this world. As Jesus was in this valley of the devil in this text, that's how we are to be in this world. It's not a magic power. It's not the use of Jesus' name, and I can make anything happen in my life. It's following Jesus with a cross, under condemnation, under the assaults of the devil within and without. He took up his cross and he said, take up your cross and follow me. I'm not giving you a magic answer to all of your problems, but I'm giving you the courage of faith to stand in the midst of problems. To see people around you like this man, maybe they even believe, but they don't know how little they believe. And instead of being like a gay in the military and don't ask, don't tell, ask him, don't you believe? Don't you know what God can do for your problem in this life? And you won't be given a little demon-possessed boy to knock down and bring up again, but you'll have something better. You can tell them about Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. And that's the power that takes even those of little faith to the point of strong faith, of knowing that Christ in their lives will defeat them, the problems that stand against them, and take your little faith and make it great. It is part of our sanctification to know that our faith is not yet what it should be. That Christ wants to increase our faith and make it greater so that we can stand with him. May we all, every day and every week, say with this man who stands between the answer to all of the problems and all of the problems the devil creates in this world, and that we follow him, to say with him, Lord, I believe. Help me. Help me. Help my unbelief. And I guarantee you, Jesus will. Amen. And may the peace that gives us, that surpasses our understanding, then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.